So happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. How is your photographic ability? Are you good at taking pictures, especially pictures outdoors? We're going to talk about that, getting ready for summer and vacation picture taking with Jack Socha, who is the author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, which is about to come out in a second edition, by the way. Jack's also an experienced photography instructor. He'll be teaching classes with well-known professional photographer Bob Metcalf in La Crosse at his studio later this summer. And Jack comes by every so often via phone to be with us and talk about how to use that digital camera. And we're going to zero in a bit on, you know, summer and vacation of photography. We've already gone on a summer vacation a little early, kind of you might call it a spring vacation, and my wife was taking lots and lots of photos. Some were wonderful and some weren't. How about you? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'd love to hear from you. Jack Socha, welcome back. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be on with you, and congratulations to Joe for his big move. Pretty exciting stuff there. I'm doing a little bit of moving, but not really geographically. There have been some, as everywhere, budget trimmings going on at Western Technical College, and some of the buildings I teach in are basically closing up earlier in the day. And because of that, my one-on-one tutoring has been curtailed, and so I will be doing it as an individual, working with Bob Metcalf at his studio to continue that. And also, we are going to be teaching some of our own classes. We're going to have one especially for people who only have compact cameras but not DSLRs, and another one for people who only have DSLRs, and a few advanced classes as well. So we're looking forward to that. Bob and I have worked together for quite a few years. We've done a couple of teaching things together as well. So we're kind of excited about it. It's pretty neat. And, of course, again, the second edition of my book is almost at the printer. It's been updated. And I'm also adding a disc full of MP3 audio files of me just talking about more topics. So
wow.
It's a pretty exciting time.
And to go to your website is probably the best way to go to find out about classes and the book and so forth.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you were to email editor@acpress.com, we can let you know when the book is ready and also when the classes are going to be shaping up and what your interests are as well. I've got several other books in the pipeline, but we're going to put more information up on that page when my wife is not laying out books for other people so she can help me with my website.
Okay.
I may be okay technically, but when it comes to laying out a web page, I'll let my wife do it, and she lays out my books as well.
editor@acpress.com
for any and all questions, comments, or just wondering about stuff.
Well, what should we keep in mind when we're packing our photo gear for a trip?
Well, you know, this is not going to be about composition, because I will let you deal with that individually. But it is important. You could have the best composition in the world, but if your pictures are coming out spoiled, it may be because you don't have a real good understanding of how your camera works. So on the webpage, I wrote up 10 tips for better outdoor photography, and some of it's a little redundant. Some of it is the same as if you're going to a wedding or some other event. You know, make sure your camera is set for the highest resolution and the least compression. And keep in mind that if you're going to be doing outdoor photos, you may be doing a lot of extensive cropping. So you really want the largest image file possible. And these are real simple ones. If you have one, bring along a tripod.
Oh, yeah.
Because a lot of times you're going to be using telephoto shots, you know, trying to get eagles on the bluffs or whatever it may be. And the more telephoto you use, the more shake can be introduced into the camera. And using a tripod is really a very, very big deal.
We have already callers online to visit with you, and let me give that number again. It's 1-800-642-1234. And we'll go through some of these other, the other 10 points as kind of as the show goes along here, but I want to give AJ and La Crosse a chance to chime in. AJ, hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks, guys. The question is calibration of your camera so you can see the same colors on your camera as you get in your print.
Oh, that's a
like
very
using
good question. Right.
It's like using the Macbeth color chart, and I want to make sure I'm taking pictures of artwork, and I take a picture, but the lady says, no, that's not what it is. So I want to know how to calibrate it.
Yeah, this is exactly the same thing with color photography in the old days with film, where you had to calibrate the light bulb, the chemicals, the temperatures. The whole chain of events have to be lined up. And those are partly your camera, but a big part is your monitor. And there are these devices that are frequently called spiders that you can buy, and they may cost $60 or more, that will suction cup on your monitor, and they will calibrate the monitor so that the colors that you see are really the colors that the printer will end up getting. Putting a color checker, which is this thing that you can put in the corner of a picture that that has colors on it that you then look at on your monitor, can help you calibrate it as well. But it's really important to calibrate your monitor and then to find a printer that once you get good work with, keep using them. Because if you jump around to different companies or different labs, the whole calibration process may be off again. But generally speaking, if you can calibrate your monitor, and you generally have to do that with a thing called a spider to really do it right, that will then save certain profiles, which the printer will then be able to use.
Hmm.
Great. Will that work on a laptop?
It'll work. Yeah, it should work on a laptop just fine. Yes. Uh-huh.
Terrific.
All right. Thanks, AJ, for calling. And Diane in Janesville, your turn. Hi, Diane.
Hi. Thank you so much for this great segment this morning.
You're welcome.
We're heading to Disney at the end of summer, and we need to upgrade our digital camera. So we're wondering what's the best model and brand to go with.
Well, a lot depends on whether you want to bring a large, heavy camera or something pocketable. If you're looking for something pocketable, and I hate to mention particular brands because each person's tastes are different, but I have had extraordinarily good luck with the current crop of Sony CyberShots. They now have this kind of like super intelligent auto, and it has allowed me to take pictures in situations where normally I simply couldn't do it, and they're spectacular. So you might look into the Sony CyberShot line, although frankly, you know, Canon and even the existing Kodak cameras are still quite good. There's a bunch of them out there. Interestingly, the really simple lower-end compact cameras are generally being discontinued because the people who were attracted to those are now using camera phones. But I would look into it for a portable camera. I personally happen to like the Sony CyberShots. For a larger camera, if you want a digital SLR, of course, you've got the battle between Canon, Nikon, Olympus, Pentax, and all the rest. But just decide how much stuff you want to lug around Disneyland.
Yeah.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Yeah, you mentioned phones. I see the iPhone ads now say that there's an ad that says, there are more photos taken with an iPhone than any other device.
Yeah, and not to disparage iPhone users, but there's a difference between people who are enthusiasts and those who are just regular snapshooters. I mean, in one of my articles, I was talking about the difference between being Ansel Adams and Andy Warhol. You know, there are the technicians and those who just want to take a picture. And the iPhone is filling in a very big demand right now.
Yeah,
and there's nothing wrong with that. You don't want to be Ansel Adams every day of your life out there. So.
All right, and again, Diane, thanks for calling. Eric in Mesa, Maine, give you a chance. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I'm not exactly sure how to state it. I believe it's about watermarking a photo before you post it, so that it can't be copied.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how do you do that?
Well, there are commercial products, but frankly, if you go to my site and to the photo area, there's an article on 10 free image editing programs, and one of them is my favorite one called Photo Filter, and it will allow you to put text over your existing picture and also to select the degree of transparency. And so basically this will it'll spoil the photo so that people can't copy it, but it will do it so subtly that you still can enjoy the picture. Now, there also are embedded electronic watermarking programs that you can look up as well if you're concerned about that. But just for putting something up on a website and making it just enough that a person really can't reuse it, I would go look at that free program Photo Filter, and you can find out more about it on my site.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling.
Sure.
Yeah, appreciate your call.
Yeah, I love that program. I use it constantly, and it's free. And my site's a little hard to navigate right now because, again, I'm trying to get my wife to fix it. But if you go to the website, you'll see a big blurb about the book. But over on the left-hand side, it says, go to AC Press main pages. And there you go to the photography section, and there's the article, and that lists all those free programs.
Talking with Jack Socha today about taking the great outdoor photos, and looking forward to hearing your questions and comments. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Love to hear from you. Outdoor challenge. What's the biggest? We got in the next 45 seconds. What's the biggest outdoor challenge?
I was just talking to one of the folks working here where I am right now, and she said, "Don't have the people look into the sun so they are squinting." And you know something? That wasn't on my 10 tips, but you know, that's a good point. So turn them sideways, do something else, but don't have them squint.
Well, and you know, my wife was taking a lot of pictures of myself and my daughter, and half the time we were squinting into the sun, so she was exactly right.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those deals where you think of everything else, and someone walks up and gives you a pearl of wisdom, and you went, oh, I should have done that one.
Jack Socha, our guest today, he'll be with us right up until 12:30, and we're going to take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us, and then we'll be back with Jack. Stay with us. Well, there was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, when taking a picture meant buying film, loading it into the camera, waiting for the roll to finish, and then send it off to get developed. Could be days, weeks, or even longer before we saw those photos. Larry Mueller here. Now it's all instantaneous, and we can immediately see what we took, whether it's good or not, and if we want to keep it. And that's all great, but one thing hasn't changed. We still need to know how to use our camera in order to get good shots. Jack Socha is a great resource for us on how to use your digital camera to take the best photos possible. He's the author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, which is about to come out in a second edition. He's an experienced photography instructor. Always great to have him with us. Jack, thanks so much for taking time to be with us by phone today. Appreciate it very much.
It's always an education for me to find out what people need to know, because it helps me teach classes and write books.
Yeah.
So it's a good deal for me, too.
Well, appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm looking at my list here of items.
Yeah.
Obviously, we can't go through all 10 of them in this time, but the one that keeps coming up all the time is something that I've talked about before called the exposure compensation, or plus-minus exposure control. Usually, you have to take the camera off decision-free to make it work, but if you're shooting outdoor photos, many times the bright sky will cause your meter to expose for the sky, and your landscape will be dark. And this is where, if you learn to use that plus-minus exposure compensation control, you can literally see the screen of your camera lighten up or darken as you need it by using that control. So I would really suggest that people turn off the completely, fully decision-free and really play with that plus-minus until it becomes almost second nature. Because, second nature, what a pun for outdoor photography. But for this kind of things we're talking about, you will use that extensively outdoors.
Yeah. You know, my wife is, Renee has really gotten good at that. She just decided to take off the automatic function entirely. So she does everything manually now with her camera, and she gets some amazing photos.
There is a need for basic photo instruction. I don't have time to write the book this week or next week, but I really am thinking of doing a book that would have a title like Rediscovering Photography in a Digital Age, because most of these cameras, especially the DSLRs, have the capacity of shooting manually, and it's kind of like the difference between having a stick shift and an automatic. You know, once you get to use a stick shift, you really like using the control that you have. So that may be a book down the road, but any school that teaches basic photography, even older books that were from the so-called film era, mm-hmm. that still teach about f-stops and shutter speeds and their relationship to the film, is something really worth looking into.
Bev in Madeline Island has a question for you, Jack. Let's go to her. Bev, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a question about sending photos. I am a watercolor painter, and I need to send photos of my images of painting to have a catalog made. And I'm wondering, to get the best quality for them to make the catalog, is there a setting I should use on my camera to take the photos? And then is there a special way to send it through the computer?
Okay, yeah, and I'm very familiar with this, yeah, because when we get the books produced, I frequently am away from where my wife is working, and I have to send her stuff. Number one, make sure your camera is set for the highest quality, the largest size image you can get. If it's a 14-megapixel camera, make sure it's set for 14 megapixels. Then look for something called the quality or compression setting, and set that for the highest quality it can do. This way you've got the best picture that you can take. Now, most cameras will save the image as what is known as a JPEG, and most printers work with JPEGs. So that's probably fine. If you're going to do a lot of editing to the picture before you send it, I would suggest opening it up in your image editing program and saving it as what is known as a TIFF file, T-I-F. And then later on, when you're finished editing, save it back as a JPEG for sending. This is because the JPEG tends to compress the image, and with extensive editing, you might lose a little quality. Now, as far as getting it to the printer, you may want to burn them onto a DVD disc and send them to them. If you want to do it over the Internet, chances of emailing them is pretty small because the files are pretty large. You might open up a free Dropbox account or one of the other free file sharing accounts, and then you would simply put them onto that, and then the printer would download them there. In many cases, a lot of printers, publishing companies, have their own special uploads to their own storage areas. So you might want to ask them the best way of doing it. But by all means, start out with the highest quality image you can possibly take, and then work from there.
There you go.
And is that setting on my camera? I have a Canon Rebel.
Oh, yes. You have to go to the function setting while you're in the taking mode, and you'll notice there are places for quality and size. They're kind of combined together, and you definitely have those settings. The way you can tell is if the card suddenly drops from 300 pictures to 150, you've got it on a higher quality setting.
Okay.
There you go. Thanks, Mel.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, appreciate it. Rochelle in Madison, what's on your mind?
Hey, I'm just wondering if there's any way to retrieve something off of an SDHC card that I erased. I took a video film of my nephew crossing the stage at his graduation, and unbeknownst to me, I was deleting photos, but I thought it was the photo part. I didn't know that there was a video that was behind it, and I deleted the whole thing. Is that the way to get that back?
There are recovery programs. Now, number one, if you accidentally erase a file on a card, you should stop using the card immediately, because this way the file really isn't erased. They simply remove the first letter of the file name, which makes it invisible to the camera. But if you keep using the card, it could then overwrite the thing, and you've lost it. If you look online for free image retrieval programs, you may find something there. Also, if you happen to have a SanDisk brand card, I believe they have their own proprietary retrieval program, which is free, that you can download from the website. And failing that, you may want to go to a photo lab and see if they can do something for you there. But assuming the thing hasn't been overwritten, you probably can get it back.
There you go.
Okay, thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate it. Jack Zosha, our guest today, author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought. He's got a wonderful website. He's had so much information.
Yeah. If I can get my wife to make it look prettier, I'll really have a winner.
Well, you got lots of good information on it. And that's at acpress.com. So capital A, capital C, press.com. Good place to go. Bob in Wauwatosa is up next. Hi, Bob.
Good afternoon. I've got a question about the way lens focal lengths are described for, you know, the latest and greatest cameras. For those of us that started out with 35-millimeter cameras, we know that our, you know, I've got a zoom lens that was a 70 to 210, and so I'm familiar with the magnification of that. But the new small cameras have conversion factors, or at least they did until cameras like, for example, one I'm interested in, the Olympus OMD EM5, and articles in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and other places have described various lenses for that and other cameras, and they give the focal lengths of the lenses. But I'm sure there's a conversion factor, and I don't know what it is anymore for these cameras.
It gets a little confusing. Let me try to sort this out a little bit.
It sure does.
Yeah. In many cases, camera manufacturers will list the strength of the lens, how telephoto or wide angle it is, in the equivalent as if you had been shooting 35-millimeter film. Now, this is getting less and less applicable as time goes by, and so in some cases they are using the native real focal lengths for digital. And to make things more complicated, most consumer digital single-lens reflex cameras, or even the so-called ILCs, the ones that don't have the pentaprism on top, have a smaller than full-size sensor. And so there's a magnification ratio. So if you put a lens, let's just say you put a 50-millimeter lens on a smaller sensor camera, because of the smaller sensor, it only uses the center of the lens, and the bottom line is it acts as if it was a 75-millimeter. So there's a slight magnification ratio going on. So what you have to do is you have to look through the gobbledygook, and probably someplace somebody has written a conversion chart to show all this stuff. The first place I would look would be a site I always like to look at called Steve's Digicams, because probably in one of the forums someone has tackled this. But for us 35-millimeter users, it was nice to see the original markings. But for the newer generation of camera users, they're going, why are you doing that? So I would just have to kind of bite your lip and plow through it. But you will get a magnification ratio if you put a lens designed for a 35-millimeter camera on a camera with a smaller size sensor. Hope that helps
okay.
a little bit.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks, yeah, Bob. Right. Appreciate the call. And by the way, we have an open line again, finally. You can get on fairly quickly with your question at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. And Jan in Duluth, Minnesota, you're next. Hi, Jan.
Hi. I wondered if you could recommend a software program that one can process your digital photos and add to them a paragraph or two about where it is, the people, that sort of thing.
Okay, I think what you probably are going to want to look into is more of a desktop publishing program than a photo editing program, because I think what you're going to need to do is to make up a page, type in the text, and drop in the photo, as opposed to putting it in a photo editor and dropping in a paragraph of text. Again, my old friend PhotoFilter, which is free, is available on the website. You can get a link to it. You can drop in text, but it would be a very roundabout way of doing it. So there's a lot of even Microsoft Word or any of the Mac programs, almost anything that does word processing, you can drop a photo in, and then you can type in and draw a box under it and fill that with text. And I think that would be the best way of doing it.
Yep.
Well, we were wanting to put this on one of those screens that recycles keeps cycling through photos.
Okay, so you want the text to be actually on the photograph itself?
Yes,
Do you want it to be like in a little box or something that maybe is a little lighter than the rest of the photo? I would go to my site, acpress.com, and go to the article on the free image editing programs, and there's several of them there, and basically all of them will allow you to do that in one way or another, and they're all free.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's acpress.com.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Facebook comment from William who says most people are shy about photography. They won't move closer or try to different angles and take a minimum amount of pictures. One of my favorite rules is shoot a lot now and edit later. The moment is fleeting and never comes back. If you have a burst mode, multiple pictures per second, give it a try. Use it. Great photography is created by the person behind the lens, not the camera itself. So
I agree with him. Yeah. They're also on many of the digital SLRs, you can also do what they call auto bracketing, where it will take a burst of, say, three pictures, one exactly the exposure the camera said, one a little overexposed, and one a little underexposed. So it pretty much guarantees that one of those three will come out the way you want it to be.
Yeah. Betty emailed us from New Richmond. Can SD memory cards affect the quality of a digital picture? I have the original SD memory card for my camera that I've taken thousands of pictures with. I download the pictures and then delete them and continue to use the SD card.
Yeah, they don't wear out.
Wear out? Can it wear out?
It might eventually wear out in terms of physical damage, but you're just storing digital information, so it isn't like there's any interaction between the card and the actual, the pictures you take. Some people like to format the card in the camera before they use it again. And you might want to do that just to clear up any spurious little bits of data that's floating around the card. But do it in the camera. Go to your setup menu, to your basically where you set your time and date and all these things. And there's usually something in there that will let you format the card.
Let's turn to Steve in Wonder Lake, Illinois. Hi, Steve. Thank you for calling.
Hi, good afternoon. I have both a suggestion for the previous caller and a question. For adding text, I think you might be able to use on the PC the Paint program to add text, and then I think that saves it as JPEGs, and you might be able to put that in the screensaver. Probably, I might be mistaken there.
Yeah, that would work very well. With Photo Filter, you simply draw a box, and then before you put the text in, you can actually lighten the image that's only inside the box, and then you can add text to that. So there's many, many programs that will do that. If the object of the game is to title them actually on a screen display for like a picture frame, sure. But it's a very good idea.
Right. With Paint, you can put it under the picture, and also you can make the text background totally transparent or give it whatever color you want. So you have flexibility there.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
That way you don't have to load things. I'm always leery about loading another thing on my computer.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Then a question. I've had digital cameras here for a while. I'm also from the 35-millimeter club, and I have a remote strobe flash, a strobe-triggered strobe, the one that sees the flash on the camera and strobes, and the digital cameras don't seem to pick those up. Are the shutters so fast that they can inhibit that second one, and is there any way around that you know of?
I don't think there's a way around it. That has been around ever since digital cameras happened, that the shutter speeds just don't sync. So you have to, basically, you got to buy a new flash. And also, I get concerned about putting, especially if you're using a hot shoe, putting an older film camera flash on a digital camera hot shoe, because the connections may not match up and you might do some damage to the camera. So I'm afraid in this particular situation, it's good news for the camera flash manufacturing industry and bad news for us.
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call very much. And again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. And while you're there, click like while you're there. We'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. Cynthia in Stoughton just joining us now, so let's go there. Hi, Cynthia.
Hi, how are you?
Great.
I have a question about I have a Nikon X700, I believe, is the camera, and the viewing screen on it is very small for my aging eyes and bifocals.
Welcome to my world.
Exactly. Yeah. And, all the newer ones have these great big screens, and I find myself, just grabbing the point-and-shoot because it's easier to see what I've just taken a picture of. Is there any kind of adapter that you can put on that will magnify that screen?
Yes, there is. I believe there's one company called Hoodman. Hoodman has got like a little superhero with a hood on his head. And they make a variety of loops, they call them, L-O-U-P-E, that fit directly over the screen and you look into it.
Okay.
And the only difficulty you may find that as the newer cameras get bigger screens, you may find the smaller ones harder to find in the stores. But I would suggest if you locate their website, I bet you could find one.
Okay, great.
Okay,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Mary in Milwaukee, we turn to you next. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a Canon EOS 40D, and I've been having some problems with the focusing being sharp. It seems to be just kind of soft. And I've tried both the autofocus and manual, and just wondering if there could be a problem with the lens or if it could be some setting. I've got it switched on, the autofocus.
Yeah, you have to go through a little empirical testing. Number one, take the same lens and put it on a neighbor's camera and see if you get the same results.
Okay.
and or take another lens from your neighbor and put it on your camera and see what happens. This helps to divide out whether the problem, if there is one, is with the camera or with the lens. But now the other thing is, it may be the subjects that you're shooting. I had a gentleman who was very, very concerned about a very expensive lens he had, but what was happening was he was shooting it in relatively low light, and he was getting a slow shutter speed. And when we put it on a tripod, the pictures were fine.
So I've been trying all different shutter speeds too. Tried that, and it's deal. A lot of times, it's things that if it's a really big subject, like let's say I'm taking a tree very close up, then that's fine. But if it's anything even a little bit far away, or even just a flower or something, it ends up being just soft.
I would then just simply, like you say, find someone who has a similar Canon camera. It doesn't have to be exactly the same model. Put the lens on that camera, let them take some pictures with it, and compare and see what's going on. Because then you've got to basically figure out whether it's the camera, the lens, or some technique that we're missing. But unfortunately, it's going to be one of those empirical trial and error things. It's going to take a little while.
There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Mary. And Mark in Bow Valley, Illinois. Hi.
Hi. Quick question. I'm wondering if you can take multiple exposures with a digital camera.
Generally speaking, no, because they don't really have the same system as film does. You more likely can take exposures and then overlay them using software. But I'm afraid that taking the multiple exposures in camera, I have not seen one in my experience that has done that, just because it's a whole different animal than film. But the more accepted thing now would be to take the individual shots and then combine them using one of the image editing programs that's out there.
Mark, thank you so much. And Jack, thank you so much. Boy, it's been great fun.
Yeah, my pleasure. Again, if you are interested in knowing when the book is coming out, or if you are in the greater La Crosse area and you're wondering about either individual tutoring or the classes that Bob Metcalf and I are setting up, by all means, drop a note to editor@acpress.com. I will still be teaching classes at Western Technical College, but there'll just not be as many. So this is kind of filling a vacuum that I hope will be filled very nicely. We'll find out.
We'll find out. Jack, thanks again. Appreciate it very much.
All right. Thank you.
Jack Socha is the author of How to Use the Digital Camera You Just Bought, and he's got this new second edition coming out. And so you want to go to his acpress.com. You can learn some more about that upcoming new edition of his book, which was his book's been very popular. I want you to remember that if you're at the Midwest Renewable Energy Association tomorrow, I hope you'll join Judith and me for our Garden Talk show. We're taking it on the road to the MREA in Custer, Wisconsin. UW Extension Associate Professor and Ag and Hort Specialist from Portage County, Ken Schrader, will be our guest. So come on out to be part of the show's live audience. We'll start at 11 o'clock and goes to 12:30. You can get there a little bit early. We'll certainly be there, and I'll be able to talk with you and shake hands and just have a good time. So and Judith will, of course, as well. So come early, stay late. Why not? It's going to be a lot of fun at the Midwest Renewable Energy Association. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.